recording.
Yeah, we are the most key thing.
Okay. I will start, but I think Zahara, I don't have your GitHub username. Do I have yours?
Choose my Gmail, I guess.
So you register. So everyone should register our account on GitHub.
Okay.
So that we can try the Git remote operations. So I added some people, but I don't remember who I missed. I think Izar is here. So possibly you will receive an email on that. So for now we will need to look at the GitHub interface. So try logging into your GitHub account and go to the front page. So there you will see the standard interface. So on top is the menu. Those are the main functions that you have. And on the below that is the information you receive, the notification you receive from the followers. For your account. So for our purpose, we want to talk about the Git remote and how to create a repository on the remote repository. So you will see there's a plus sign right on your browser. So there's a new repository option. I will find that and click on that. So we will create a repository called a test website. So this is name and description you can write as a demonstration using GitHub repo and GitHub pages. Yeah, you can type anything you want. And then below there's an option on do you need to create a ignore file or create a license file and initialize with a README. We just don't select that because we will create those things by our own. All right, are we on the same page? Okay, click on the create repository, this button. Then you will get to this page. So this piece basically saying. Yeah, sure, but you need to do some mental exercises. You need to remember every time I use the name. It's called a test website. Yeah. So all the documentation on these lessons are linked on the workshop website. So I'm following this guy. It's called Git Remote and GitHub. If you miss anything, you can look at the page and find the command line. So for now, we will use the file that you downloaded from the lessons. Let's go to the command line. I think this guy. Yeah. So I'm on the folder containing two, maybe for you it's three folders. So one is called a test website. Do you have that?
Would it be useful if people went back to the directory that they downloaded the files from the session
right.
for?
pi.
And get after pi and get after mo, and then change into get after mo.
So now cd to test website. Alright, we do that. So the thing we did on the website is you create a remote repository on GitHub. So that is different from your local repository. So here, if we just look at the files we have all kinds of files in the folder. And we want to create a local repository. So what you do is, as the chapter told us, is to use git init. Okay? So now you create an empty git repository on your local computer. So here if you ls and ls with a, then you will see a hidden file called .git. Right? So once you have that, so next we want to synchronize our local repository to the remote repository so that if you want to collaborate with other people, then your collaborator can post code to the remote repository as well. So what you do is just to use so you need to set up the remote URL address. So that is on the page. If you go back to the page, that tell you that you need to do this, right? So git init, we have done that. Then what we need to do is just add this line. So remote add and this address. So what you can do is you copy that to your command line. So a short key if you use this terminal is Control Shift plus V. Then you paste the line you copied from the website.
So G, could you kind of explain a little bit about what that command is doing?
So this command line has you see that it's called git remote. And then git remote add. That one basic thing you add a holding place, or we call it an upstreaming repository, named as origin, with the URL follows by HTTPS. Okay. So you can hit enter. So once you have that, you have created a repository so that you can upload your local files to the remote repository. So to upload, you can type git push hyphen u dash u. So this dash u means you want to upload your file to the remote. And type origin, so this is the name of the remote repository.
That's the default. So that in the future you can just say
push. Yes. So in the future you can ignore the dash u. You set up the, so the first time you use that, you set up the default remote called origin. Yeah, good point. And
so
then
the name of the remote
is yeah. So I'm showing on the left here is you can see my address is github.com/i2000s, then test website. But for your case, you will have a github.com and then your username on GitHub, and then test website.
So you made your own name for the remote.
Yeah.
You said git add origin. You could have put anything you wanted there for origin, but we chose to name the remote.
So I told you to copy that because it's a everyone has a different URL, right? And then when you push it, you need to add the name of the branch. The default one is called master. That's what we created. So you can press enter now if you have this command line. Then what you see here is error. Yeah. So because we haven't added anything, right? So status, you will see everything is not staged. Did everyone got this? So what I mean, what does that mean is you don't have anything cached in your log. So if you do git log, that's nothing. Oh, right. So you can add everything into one commit by using git add dot. So dot is to add everything in the folder. Okay, do that. So let me move this command higher so you can see that. So now you need to commit the change. What Travis tell you is use a text editor to add the message for this change. Another way to do that is you use commit dash m and a quotation mark with your information. I wrote initialize repo. Then you close the quotation mark. So that is equivalent to say you write this message to the log file. Okay. Now for you, you may have a different interface, but it usually asks you to input your password for the GitHub account. So
how come here?
Yeah, everyone should be different. So I set the security level high, so I need to do that. So if you don't want, okay. So let's try the push again. You can go press the up arrow, get to the git push, that's you origin master. So you push the master branch to the remote called origin. Then you press enter.
Could you again remind me what you are doing?
Okay, so we want to synchronize our local repository to the remote repository we just created on GitHub. Because we have a name of the remote repository called origin, we can just use git push dash u, meaning you select the default remote, and then upload your master branch to the remote. Okay?
So we are synchronizing them.
Yeah.
It's useful to think of the way that we're departing this right now, and you'll get them that back up your file server. So we have a folder and a directory on GitHub's website, and then we have some files on our local machine, and what we're now doing is setting up the infrastructure necessary to synchronize those files. And this idea of the word origin and remote, origin is simply the name that we're using to describe that. If you do more advanced collaboration, you might discover that actually you want your single repository on your machine to point and have access to many different remotes.
Yep.
And so you need a different name for each remote. Just like how master is not really a very special kind of phrase for describing the default branch, origin is not this just the default word that Linus seemed to have settled on when he wrote this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of percolated into common parlance as a result.
Yep. Yeah, thank you. So once you run the git push command, it will ask you your username and your password. So the username should be something like that, not your email address. If I press enter, then it will ask me for the password for my GitHub account. So I type in my password and then enter. So
is it the same email we set up the very first time in that session?
Is
the line we ran the other day for setting up our email which email? Which username I should use? Is it the same username?
No, you should use your username for GitHub.
It's different from that.
That's just like again, that you have an account on Dropbox with the special thing.
It's just for GitHub. So once you type that, you will see it's uploading your files to the remote.
Do we have epic text problems over here?
His shell isn't like authenticated with
HTTPS. Okay, I will wait for you. So in the meantime, I think it's waiting.
Do you want to
what's going on here, Git is simply telling us that, yeah, we're sending these files to the channel. And then once you have this message, now you said, okay, great. And in particular, this idea of master is now tracking master.
Might have been just
and whatnot. Is it? Here it works now. Push and pull here. Well, so there have been several services that have tried to use Git as kind of the software that they use to do code collaboration.
Okay.
And a lot of them failed because there was just zero interest for a while. But GitHub became the most popular way for people to share code.
Mm-hmm.
And GitHub has been really popular because they have enterprise-grade solutions. So that way companies can just purchase software from GitHub to do it themselves. At UNM, we also have our own servers for kind of Git repositories that you could use.
Yep.
GitHub offers private repositories, which you have to pay for. You know, so that way, maybe if you're working on your research project and you don't want anyone to see it, you know, then you could do it that way.
But
yeah.
On this documentation, you will find other options like the UNM have a GitLab service. You can use that for free. But we also have the CQuick organization for people in CQuick to use if you want to use that. Because usually people need to pay for the private repository. But for us, we get a free private repositories. You can use that for free. That's basically the thing I want to mention. I think I have network problems.
It looks like you have network problems.
Yeah.
So you were able to successfully push?
Yeah, I was.
You? Cool.
So let me try. Not this one?
I just did EduRoom.
EduRoom, okay.
Get EduRoom.
Username is the email address.
That's true.
Do you remember your password for that?
Hopefully. Doesn't connect. Very strange.
Somebody knows that some things will always be with us.
Is there any expectation that you'll pass off that code once you're finished with the project?
developing a new code for it. I'm
okay.
actually using it for specific material that I'm working experimentally.
Turn off your Wi-Fi and just kind of force it to use the
it's really specific.
I think it's working.
Unless you're working on
yes.
that material,
All right, so do you get this message? It says compressed objects and then writing objects 100%. And then you have a new branch called master. Master to master, that means you have already synchronized your local repository to the remote repository. Okay, so this is the first step. The general process that you initialize a repository and then upload your local repository to the remote. How about if you want to, every time since you need to input your username and password, don't do that? By default, we add the username. Maybe that's more convenient for us. So what we can do is we change the URL. So you type git. Let's see, remote URL, and then set URL, right? And then you type the name of the remote. We call it origin, right? And then the full URL that you want to use. So now we want to use your username. I'm typing my username i2000s, and you should use your username on GitHub, and then add the previous URL we have. So it's github.com, and then slice your username again, and then the name of the repository, which is testwebsite.git. Right?
Oh, wait, you just have to type your password.
Yeah.
Well,
we do that step by step. If you want to do, also don't want to type in your password, what you can do is after your username here, you type this comma, and then your password, whatever it is.
Oh
but I'm just type somewhere.
Please not do that.
Yeah.
Please don't do that.
So please. I won't say that, but you guys can try type your password, but this one only recorded on your local computer. It's not uploaded to the remote. Okay, so let me hide the username for now. And then if I do push again, but this time it's a second push, so I don't need to use the dash u command. Instead, I just directly use the origin master. That's the point of the remote and then the branch I want to upload. So enter. Only ask me for password, not the username. So if you put the username in the URL address, it won't ask you your password.
What kind of configurations do you have enabled for this? Okay, so right now you're doing git push remote branch.
Yeah.
There's a git config option called push.default equals simple, in which git assumes that you are pushing
the local, the current.
Whatever branch it is that you're on,
it
will just try and push that to the repository.
So if you type git branch, so we won't have one branch per master. It has a star meaning you are currently on this branch. So I'm using the default one. So git since 2.0, the behavior is it's just to use the current one to push to the.
So are you using a more up to date version of git?
Yeah.
So you can do git push.
Git push.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they redefine everything.
Yeah.
Does it have a password? Is it
set up
on my setting?
Or you set up
a password? Yeah, you possibly have set up the password.
Did you set up SSH keys?
Yes. Not for
yet.
Can
you
upload
like?
For what?
For SSH.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, and you upload
it to the
account?
No.
Maybe.
I set up my usage for other users.
So see here, Do you use this address like HTTPS similar to this? Do you use that?
Yeah. First she uses that first line.
Uh-huh.
But then following what you type on the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
HTTP, then your username.
So did you do HTTP versus HTTPS?
No, I
think you. So when you set the URL, you should be something like that, your username at github.com. Yeah, so you have the password set up in the that's the easiest way. Another way is you use SSH. So another way is you replace the HTTPS with a GET. That protocol basically saying you want to use SSH to upload your files. And then for that purpose, you need to set up some credential on GitHub. Then you don't need to input any password. But for this lesson, we just skip that. It will take some time. So I have the documentation in the website. You can check later. So now you know how to set up the URL and synchronize with the remote. What we want to do next is let's look at the interface on GitHub. So now we go to the website, refresh the page, you will see different things. So previously it asked you to do the git init and so on. So now you get the code. For my repository, I have different folders, different files, and then there's a README.
What did you go to?
It's the repository address. And for your case, it's github.com, and then your username, and then test website. The one we opened early. And then you refresh. Yeah. So it means all the files has been synchronized or uploaded to the repository. And the interface for this GitHub has a few levels of menus. The top is it's your username and then the name of the repository. And then you can see on that there's a unwatch, star, and fork. Those are the functions that if people want to watch your repository, they can click on this button, but you are, by default, you are watching your repository, meaning if there's any change or any issues raised in the repository, it will send you an email. By default, the star is that you get you follow this repository, but you don't receive any notification or changes. Fork is the case that you want to basically copy this repository and another account, and your if another person want to fork that, means he will clone your repository to his account. That is good for collaboration. I will talk about that later. And the second line has issues. If I click on that, you will see there's a page. There's nothing here, but you can create a new issue. We can try different things. Let's try create a issue called create a GitHub page. That we will do next. You can type anything here. When you click on the submit new issue, then you get a new get a number here. So it says open, meaning you haven't closed that. You need to work on that. And if I just go back to the issues menu, you will see there's one issue here. So people use this issue to discuss bugs or new features or other problems for this repository. So it's very good for collaboration. A second menu on this top menu, there's a pull request. Basically means you, if you want to, your collaborator want to push a code, some update to your repository, then you will see a pull request. We will do that later. And then there's a projects. Here you can drag different issues into different projects. You can name a project. Let's see.
Do you actually use that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, give you one example because we don't have much issues here. But if you go to, I just demonstrated here for my case. I have a website, and then I have a different projects, different issues. There are a bunch of issues I want to finish. I can reorganize those issues using the projects. You see that? So one is to design the UR, I put different issues here. And then I put another project for details for changes and for testing and so on. So I reorganize all the issues into different categories.
That's secret.
Yeah, but so this is my website for the Chinese branch. So my website has English and Chinese both languages. So so you get the idea that you can use the projects to reorganize the issues if you have a whole bunch of issues and so on. Let's go back to our test website repository. Here. Then there's a wiki. So wiki is a place that you can document your code. The language or the syntax for this documentation is Markdown. You can, if I just click on the creator page, you can find that it give you all the hint on how to write a good wiki page. So Markdown I will demonstrate later for this purpose, but I recommend you to install a sophisticated text editor like Atom. So you already have a very simple text editor, for example Nano, that Jonathan and others have been using. And I also recommend you, so that one is very simple. So I also recommend you to use a large package so you have a lot of functions. For my preference, I use Atom, so you can go to atom.io if you want to install that, and so we can do the thing in parallel. So then the editor can show you it can read the Markdown to our HTTP format and see how it look like if you push it to the website. So the wiki brand wiki is actually a repository that you can clone to your local place. So the repository is usually I don't need to do that, but if you want to edit the wiki page on your local computer, what you can do is you just git clone, and then the address I think is let me find. So usually it's HTTPS and then github.com and then your username and then your repository name. I think it's a test website. So I'm typing here, but I don't have content there. I just demonstrate how to use that. So then wiki. Gate. So this is the full address for this wiki page if you want to edit in your local place. But let's skip that for our demonstration. Then you can go to other menus. There's one setting. Setting is if you want to turn off those features like a wiki, issues, projects, and so on, you can turn it off. And also you can...
when you turn the issues off, for example?
Then you won't show up. So let's try that. So if I turn that off, you see that the menu got changed immediately. There's no issue on the top menu now, right? If I select that, you get it back. Okay. So sometimes you don't want let people to like report problems and so on. Yeah, you just don't want it to get boxed.
The Git source code is hosted on GitHub, for example.
Yeah.
But all of the collaboration for Git takes place in a very well-defined mechanism that is not on GitHub. And so therefore, in order to stop people from very stupidly opening issues on GitHub, that may never be enough. They are not in the workflow for developing Git. You can turn off the issues page.
Yeah.
Or similarly, someone has made a change to Git and they think they can just simply send you a pull request. No. That's not how the workflow works. So you might also turn off pull requests. Right? And so it's more of a way of giving people who are doing that kind of software development, where there's already a very well-defined workflow for how things are handled, to not muddy the waters.
Yeah, there are a bunch of options that you can choose, but for here, I will see a few words on the special branches. So you, when you scroll down on the setting page, there's a settings that GitHub pages. So that little one is a special branch that you can push code there and to make our website. So the demonstration repository that I give to you is actually a web page generated using Jekyll. So GitHub supports a static static website generator like Jekyll. Then we can use that to create a new branch called Git Pages, and then push it to the repository and then we can see how it got rendered as a website. So the other one, I think you get the idea. So we will go back to the.
Do you have some sort of special account on GitHub too?
Oh, that one. Right. So, yeah, I have a setting. So, this one, you don't have that.
Right.
I have a plugin installed to checking how the syntax in my code is formatted. Yeah.
Okay.
So, it's called, Git Climate.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you can...
Oh,
so GitHub have all kinds of integrated, it's called a continuous integration, all kinds of plugins for that purpose. You can use those plugins as a web hook to listen to your repository and check either your code or other stuff. And also can automatically test your code. So that we already use Travis CI. Travis is very happy about that. Yeah, it's a automation tool that you can run testing code on a virtual computer on the cloud. So GitHub provide this free service for you if you have a repository on GitHub. Okay, so let's go back to the code branch. Below that, you see there's a branch that's only one master. So next, we will create a new branch for the website. So let's go back to the command line.
Say something here in particular about GitHub and the GitHub pages branch. Right? Because I would say things, well, I already have stuff for the website on my master branch.
Yeah.
So what is it that we're actually trying to do here?
Okay. So if you ls to the file, you find there's a index.html. That is the HTML source code for your front page of the website, and you have other settings, includes and layouts. Those defines how the HTML pages are configured. There's also a configure.yml file. That is a configuration file. If I just let's use nano. If I want to look at the content of this thing, so we find there's a configuration for that website. One is a title. You can write anything, and URL, base URL, and so on. Other settings. And then the code is all in the mask branch. It only show up in the any website because GitHub only render a branch called GitHub GH pages to render the Jekyll website. So now if we create a branch called the git pages by using git checkup -b gh pages, that we can give us a new branch called gh pages. So this is the branch that GitHub will render the source code of the website to be online. So let's do that. Enter. So basically you build a branch, a new branch on top of the master branch, with the current files. So now if we push to the remote, we use git push origin and a gh, and then you finish this line with a tab. Then it means you push the local gh pages branch to the remote. So let's press enter. You may need to input your password if you don't want to have that in your setting. So now let's go back to the website. So go to the repository branch, you refresh, and you select the branch. You have you can see that there are two branches now. One is master, the other is called GH pages. That's a GitHub pages branch. So if I open another,
does everyone have that
brand? Yeah, you have that. Okay. Okay. Show me your.
Okay. Green sticky up if you got the branch.
Great. So now you type in your open a new tab on your web browser. You type in your username over your GitHub. Then GitHub. .io and then slice test website or the name of the repo if you use a different name. All right, everyone have that? Enter. What do you see? Okay. So your yeah, type it again. So my username, my URL was a customized. So you type in your username, github.io, and then the name of the repository, test website. All right? Get that? Okay. Okay, so you scroll down. So this is a template I just found randomly online. So it's a website, a simple template for your CV. Yeah, if you want to put your CV online, you can do that. So now let's look at the actual files locally. So
if I get the idea to explain what's going on here,
Yeah, I'm okay. So I'm using Atom as a text editor. If you want to do that, you can download from it's called atom.io. Otherwise, you can use your favorite text editor. So the editor here is very powerful. You can preview all kinds of files here. So you can do, for our purpose, you can add project folder and the file option, and then select the file you want to add. I think it's this one. No. Select the folder that you just created. I think it's for my case it's here. So navigate to your folder, the text website folder.
Okay.
And then, do you get that?
Yeah.
Okay, so click OK. Then you will see there's a folder called a text website.
Okay.
And then we can preview what's going on. So this one is the index.html file.
Mm-hmm.
So it has this part. If you use other text file, you can find there's a three hyphen or three dashes, and then seeing layout default. So meaning this file is calling a default layout. And down there, it's calling four HTML files. So it's include something. So all the files are located in the include folder. So if I see I want to change things about a career profile, I can go to include, and then there's a career profile HTML, right? So you open that, there basically is written in HTML source code. It's a session name, and then the title, and then the content of the part. The content is saying summarize your career here. Okay, let's look at what's the this code go on to the website. So you can go to the web page again. So summarize your career here is exactly the thing we see in the document, right? So each file actually just control each session for like a career profile experiences and projects and so on. Okay, so for one part, skill and the last part, not the last part. The part called projects, if you go back, there's a file called projects.html. In the end, you will find that there's an image, right? We created an image there. What we do here is we linked the image into the HTML source code. So I'm using site.base URL. It's calling a configuration parameter in your configure .yml file. So if I go back to the configure.yml file, you will find there is a parameter called a base URL at the beginning. You see that? Okay, so yeah, so if I go back to the projects, it basically thing I am using. Let's go to projects. It's using a URL from the base URL, which is a test website, and then assess image and the file name for the image. The file name is located in assess, and the images you can navigate to the folder. And then there's a image called a product curve acume. If I click on that, you see the image. Why is it powerful? Because the atom text editor can actually preview your image there. So now let's do something, make it a little bit complicated. Let's suppose we have a collaborators working on different things, and then we generate some simulator something, some conflict, and we'll try to solve that. So suppose you want to change this image to another image on your master branch, and then you want to merge the master branch to back to the JS pages branch. So but your collaborator, suppose he's working on JS pages branch directly. He also wants to change the same image, so there's a conflict. Then you want to solve that. So let's do the process by go back to the terminal. Let's switch back to the master branch by git If you remember, it's checkout master, right? Okay. So after you enter this command, you will see switch back to switch to branch master. So everything is up to date, but we want to change the image file. So you cd to access and then images. And then else you see the file called product curve acum.png. So suppose we want to replace that with another image called a product curve acum less dot png. Yeah. So I'm hiding the full address, but it should be in your test website, and then access, and then image. When you finish, give me your stick. So I'm going to the image folder to replace the product curve acum png image with another one.
So what
was the command for the image? So I'm a cd to the folder, and
yeah.
Now I want to copy another file. Let's call it product curve less dot png to replace the product curve acum dot png. Okay, everyone have that? Suppose we do that. Now if I switch back to the text editor, you find that the image got changed. All right?
But you can see that in your Atom editor, right?
Yeah, I can do that.
Oh, we can see it.
You can go to the folder and
open.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so this slide did for the master. Now I want to, if I check the state, so the thing is the changed file is not documented now. So we want to use git add, and then the name of the file to stage it. So a shortcut is I just again use git add dot to add the file. Notice that if you use a git add command, you don't need to be at the root directory of your repository. You can in any folder in your local repository to do the command.
And to add everything, or just that folder?
In that folder. So dot is only works in that folder. Yeah. So now if I type status, I find that it sees modified product curve acum.png. Yeah.
So what I understood from the last time,
yeah,
was that Git is mostly working with text files and stuff.
Yes.
So now I see that it also works with images that have been
used. The thing is that.
So yes, I think I answered Zara's question.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. You can basically put anything you want inside there. The problem becomes a PNG is something that Git will treat as a binary black box.
You know, that'll work.
And so the way that it knows it's changed is probably something about like its most recently modified timestamp property.
Okay. Yep.
And then it is detecting that it's changed because of simply that property has changed. But for instance, if you do a do git diff dash dash cache.
Mm-hmm. Diff?
Diff. Space dash dash cache. C-A-C-H-E-D.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
So you'll see that all git says is, look, there are these two files, and I can detect that they're different.
Okay.
But it actually can't do a diff.
Okay.
Right? And so that's why doing the Word documents also is not too useful. It'll say basically the exact same thing. So you can put different kinds of things inside, but you won't have access to the powerful things like diff. However, there are tools like WordDiff that some people have tried to write that give Git a capability to actually try and do a diff of text files. So you could, please don't. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Sure.
So how does this check? Is it different? Is it the timestamp?
It's probably just considering the timestamp.
I don't think so, because last time I just tried touch some test files and it didn't. So I just tried touch some test files.
It might just hash them.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
It's just nice. So, yeah, as Jeff said, so Git can see the change but doesn't go into the blurb. Okay. Now let's do the commit. So you can use git commit dash m give a message saying replace product curve a cube with a product curve accumulates. Okay, so this is a message and then you enter. So it may ask you for password, but maybe not. So now it seeing one file got changed. It says zero insertions, zero deletions. Yeah, okay. So what I did is run git commit with a message for the log saying replace the product curve accum image with another image. You can type in any message you want.
That's the same as putting that line in log one, right?
Yeah.
She is demonstrating a different way of writing
commit messages. So I will use this later because I want to automate everything. So
more ambitious.
Yeah. So later we will demonstrate the more complicated one. But the idea is that you need to find a command line without opening files, without editing, use other tools to do the git commit. So now you will see the change doesn't show up like a one line changed or something. It just so git didn't go to the blob. You see that. So now let's do another part. Let's see, we have a collaborator who is working directly on the theme computer on git page. So he changed the theme image. Let's see what will happen. So let's go to git let's go to the GitHub page branch. Use git checkout, so you switch the branch, and git gh pages, right? So you switch to another branch called GH pages. Okay, it says switched to that branch. Now you are in the same folder for this file. If I go back to the text editor, I see that the file is the original one. Yeah, because we switched to our new branch, it doesn't get confused if you use a master branch or another branch. So in this branch, everything is the same as we edited the file before. So suppose your collaborator changed the same file with another image. Let's do CP. So you basically copy another image called online CV Jekyll theme. You can do another image if you want. So I'm using theme 2 to product cum.png. Okay, so I'm replacing the original product curve cum.png with a new image called online CV Jekyll theme 2. Alright, so now we do enter. So you see in the folder the same image got changed. Alright, so we haven't stitched that. If you do git stitcher, it shows that one file is modified but not added to the commit. So now we add the change to this branch. So you run git add dot, or you can type in the name of the file, and then you got you use a git commit m with another message. You can write anything you prefer. I use a message called saying replace product curve a cube with online CV, and that's all. Alright, when you enter, you see it says one file got changed, zero insertion, zero deletion. Okay, again as the same before. So now suppose you come back, you want to merge your own changes from the mask branch to the JS pages branch. So I haven't talked about the how to pull the file from a remote.
But you are considering the scenario where the GH pages, the changes in GH pages was done by someone else.
Yes.
Remotely.
Yeah, remotely. And then you want
the
to.
Master was done by us.
Yeah. So, basically you can push, your collaborator can push the change to the remote, and then you pull it back to your remote to your local remote repository, right?
Yeah, I might be going ahead, but when you do that pull,
yeah.
Does it merge to GS pages or master?
It will merge to the branch you are working on. So suppose it's in the GS pages to merge to that. But it's very tricky that if you use pull, by default I think you merge all the branches.
Depends upon which version of Git you have. So.
Yeah, the reason.
You'll need to go read out on Git config, probably some configuration. So you need to do like Git pull, you used to pull all of the branches. Which is really kind of crazy.
Yes, it's crazy. So I will demonstrate it later, but for these purposes, suppose you have the change on your local now. You want to you want to merge your master to the GitHub page branch. So everyone on the same page, okay. So what you can do is just use git. Now let's see where you are. So you type git branch. So you see that you are on ghpages branch. There's a start there. Now you can merge by using git merge. As Travis Schuller spoke earlier, with master, right? So if you enter, it says there's a cannot merge binary files and these files, and then you should do solve the conflict. So different from the text file will have a thing called head. And then some carriers, right? And the equal signs. But for the binary files, you don't have that because Git doesn't go into the file. So how to solve that conflict? What you can do is you use Git checkout. The name of the file is product. I missed. So check.
Can I ask a question, quickly?
Yeah.
Has it changed anything in your directory right now?
It doesn't change anything.
Okay. I don't usually have to.
Okay.
Conflict
yeah. So if you look at the file, the image is the same as what we just committed before.
Okay.
Right. Okay. But if I let's see. If I want to use my version, which is on the master, what I can do is I check this with a hyphen theirs and the name of the image called products.png. Okay, let's try that. Before that, I explained to you what this is doing. So this dash dash theirs means I want to use another version different from the current ghpages version to replace whatever in the current file. So if I run this, I see the change I made in the master got merged, got replaced to this ghpages branch for the same image, right? So if I do git status, what you see here is both modified this file, right? So now you can, in order to see no changes added to the commit. Now you can do the git add git commit to finish this commit. But if I want to use the one in the GH pages branch, what you can do is you type git checkout for the same file, but you use hours instead of theirs. I think this is very easy to understand, so I use that. If I run that, I get back to the GH pages version. You really only have two, because you only merge
two branches.
Yeah.
So you can't have more than two.
So, yeah.
But I guess it's interesting, right? Because then the git in the middle of this merge is doing is it's holding both of these binary files inside of itself.
Right.
One of them is theirs, which is on the other branch, and one of them is ours, which is on our branch. And you can toggle back and forth between the two to preview them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've never had to deal with this. So
But another way to do that, I just to show you quickly. So if I want to merge, for example, use a master branch change, then I can use check out the master products curve acum png. If I run that, go back. I can also use replace the master.
Dash hours just has a value. The branch. So
that
will have a value as masters, and that hours will have a value.
Yeah. So in general, hours meaning the current branch you are working on.
Yeah. So it acts like a variable.
Yeah.
Right.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
So right.
If we had gone the other way and we're on the GitHub pages branch and tried to do this merge, then hours and theirs would have two different values.
So now you're saying instead of that, you can just.
Yeah. So if I want to use the GitHub pages branch, that version, I can use checkout head and then the name of the file. If I run this, I get back to this one. Alright?
So head is again
yes. The head is always on the current working branch.
Well, the head is wherever you
you point, yeah,
yeah.
The current.
You can change it to the previous commit.
Yeah.
You could check out its value on some other commit by doing git checkout commit file name. And then that'll point the head and say, okay, what was this file name like at that commit?
Uh-huh. So also, if I want to use another version early, this branch, I can do a git log, check the name, the hash code of that commit. You type in the like a 55 DA and so on. So
that should be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So and then you type the file name again. If I want to change this file, PNG, you go back. Okay. So there are many ways to do the same thing to use different versions of the same file in the history to replace the current conflict one. All right.
What
so. So you may have a different one. So
yeah,
what you can. Yeah. So what I did is I run git log. Yeah. You run git log. You see all the histories. Yeah. You can pick up one history in the folder. So what I pick up is the original one.
Okay.
The original one doesn't have any change. It's this curve. You remember that. So now let's go back to use the one I changed in the master branch. Let's call it master to replace the current conflict one. All right. So I run this command, I go back to this change. So now what I can do is I can commit this change and then push it to the remote and see if the website got changed. All right, so let's, everyone finish this?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do git add this file type's name, or you use dot, and then you use git commit dash m with a message. Okay, merge master branch. Okay, maybe you need to type in your password, but maybe not. So now you have the change all documented. If you type git status, you see you are on git branches working directory clean. Now you can push the change to the remote. So now we are on GHPG's branch. So you type in the name of the branch and then enter. So let's go back to the website to see if things got changed. So you go back to the website where you pull up early on the CV website template, and then you refresh. Uh-oh, same thing.
What is your local version? Is it the other?
It's the other picture. Okay, we'll so you need to, maybe you need to hard refresh with nothing. Yeah, maybe it's in the cache. Oh, okay. My network is not working. Do you see a difference or?
Yeah, mine works.
Okay. Sometimes you need to wait for a few minutes because Git copy needs to run the render in a few minutes. So I'm using cache. The network is not working.
In the main GitHub,
yeah.
In this website, if I select the branch ES pages,
yeah.
Shouldn't I see the commit messages to be the latest?
Yeah, to be the latest. So you can go to your repository page, refresh that.
What? Doesn't go to the
master, right? So what you can do is you click on the branch. So there are two options, one master, one GS pages. You click on the GS pages. You see the below that branch name, you see there's a commit chain. So do you get that? I have this merged master branch commit.
Okay.
Do you have that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Might be good to find out where people can click to see other commits.
Okay.
That is, right, the four commits there.
This one?
Right, so if you click on the
four commit,
four commits thing or whatever at the top of the repo, then it'll display all the commits for that branch in reverse chronological order,
mm-hmm.
Just like how git log would do.
Okay. Let me try refresh the page again. Things got strange. Okay, mine got a refresh. So you should see a picture got replaced like that.
Change the picture and
the picture got changed?
No.
No?
I can see a change in the file list.
Okay. Possibly it will take some time. Yeah. Another thing is you need to hard refresh the browser, otherwise you may load the cached version. Usually it's a shift F5 or maybe control F5 or something like that. Yeah, let me know if you finish this.
Did you also push the
in the website, in the file, in the new image?
So, to provide some clarification there, what's going on is that GitHub has allowed people to create a special pages called GitHub Pages. If a repository has a page called GitHub Pages, GitHub will use the Jekyll software to compile a website off of that branch. That is, it assumes that that branch is actually a website. So if you put something else on there, they're not going to throw up something because that's what you're trying to do.
Okay.
And then they're hosting it through GitHub itself.
Yeah.
And so that's how we're able to basically build this website through GitHub.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. If you push it to the wrong branch, so let's go back to the command line. You can, okay, I'm using capital. So you can git check out your branch name, which is a gh pages.
Yeah.
Then you do the command line. You do the add and commit again.
Yeah.
And then you git push origin and gh pages. The same, right?
Okay.
If it doesn't have any change, the git push doesn't provide anything to the remote. All right, and try that. So for people curious about the git pages on GitHub, I can show you how it works by just looking into one file. If you go to your let's go to your website, the report page, on the GH pages there's a file, okay, looks strange, but there's one called readme. Yeah, let's try. If I type in, let me just try by my own. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there is a file called readme.md, right? That file .md is a markdown file. If I go back to the text editor and you open it, which is on the root folder, so you will see something like that. In general, the Jekyll website web page generator can render this markdown file to a HTML file, which can be viewed on the website. So the syntax is very simple. So you basically define everything in text, define the format in text. So the first two lines you have a readme, and then the second line have a equal signs, right? So that is a syntax to say I'm defining a title called readme. And then you go down, you will see things like a square brackets, and then a round brackets with links. So that automatically generate a link. And then below there's a thing called this part. You have a exclamation sign and then round square bracket and a round bracket. That basically calls this image. So if you go to the web's the repository page, you see that the readme file got rendered into this format. So even in the source code, you don't see image or other things, but everything was formatted nicely. So in the in many like modern languages, like including MATLAB, Python, or something, we always have this documentation function. So you can write down markdowns like that, and then it can render similar pages like this effect to you. So this is a good way to document your code. MATLAB use so you see that for the second level title, this one use two sharp signs, but in MATLAB you use two percentage signs is equivalent. So but other than that, I think the syntax are quite similar. So the markdown is a markup language that you define format in text, but it's different for different renders. So in this case, we use GitHub, so it defines their own flavor of a markdown syntax. You can search online or for the GitHub flavored Markdown for Synnex. Okay, so now let's suppose we want to pull the changes from remote to your local. How do you do that? One is, let's check. Here I have, I'm on GitHub pages. So suppose I want to pull the remote change to my local one. I can do git pull origin. If I just enter, you see your current branch is pulled. It doesn't you need to specify what branch. So there's the first line saying you only provide the name of the remote, but you need to have the name of the branch as well to merge the change only on GH pages to the current one. So you need to use git pull origin, GitHub pages, and enter. So now you see that the there's this line basically shows that GH pages and then right arrow to the first head. So meaning you merged the remote changes on the GH pages branch to your local GH pages branch. The old version, maybe you don't need to put the branch name so that you merge every branch to the same branch on your local computer. But to be safe, you can do do the pull in another way. So you separate the git pull into two steps. One is the git fetch. If you type git fetch origin and without the branch name, what you see here is it actually pulls all the changes on different branches to your local, but doesn't merge the changes to your branches, local branches. I do git status. It's seeing your workstation, what work directory is clean, so everything is synchronized. But if there's a change in the remote, but your local branch doesn't have the information, then it will show there's a new thing. Change it in the remote, then you can merge. So after fetch, after the git fetch, yeah.
Could you demonstrate that by changing something on the website?
No, it's hard to demonstrate. But you need to change the local one and push to the remote.
No, you can change something on the website directly and
fetch
it.
You
and
want
right, to demonstrate the fact that the git fetch and
okay.
The git status does actually tell you.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Make a new file.
Yeah, we can do that.
Or
so,
just change the README to say foo or something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's demonstrate that. So suppose you want to change this file, you can do that on the web interface. So you click on the README file on the remote, and then on the right, there's a edit this file button. Let's click on that. So this one shows the source code. We can do our change here, seeing like, make change. Okay, this is trivial
maybe
message.
Maybe one day this will help me get a job.
Okay. Yeah.
Will he put it?
Yeah, use Travis' suggestion. Okay, let's do this. And then commit. So I type in a message. So the detailed one I ignore that. I don't need to put anything. So commit changes. If you want to try, you can do that. And then you see here on the web interface, there's a new sentence. Okay. So let's do the fetch again. Now if I do git fetch origin, it will show the message. So a new message is from this commit number, and then it sees git pages to origin something, right? So that means there is a change with some difference, right? So next you can merge. Yeah.
Can you explain why you're using fetch?
If we want to see why is that? Why is you want to see which branch got changed? in general, you get the message cleared, but without merging anything to the local first. And secondly, you can do merge in the second step by deciding which one you want to merge to, merge from.
So that just kind of tells you everything that's
yeah.
The global picture.
Yeah. So now you can do git merge.
Do git status.
Okay. Git status. Editors.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That's not the behavior that I expected.
Did it change anything in your thought?
No, doesn't change.
What it should have done is I would have thought it would have detected the fact that we now have there. So right, git fetch pulls down the changes and puts them on a special branch called origin / branch name. And then git status, when I want branch foo, should check what is how do I compare to remote / foo?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so maybe to I heard that. Do git branch - a.
You want to check that? Okay, this right. List all the branches.
Right. So there are the branches that we kind of see locally, like GitHub pages and master. And then there are also the branches that Git is using to keep track of the remotes. And so, for instance, when we do a git fetch origin, what that's doing is that's actually changing the branch remotes origin GitHub pages, which is why you'll see that the message that we got back was GitHub pages / origin GitHub pages. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really strange is that if we do a git merge, origin GitHub pages.
Yep.
No, git merge remotes origin GitHub pages.
You want?
I think that should do a merge
then. Let's try that. So we have four branches. Suppose we want to merge this guy. It may not work.
I think it should.
Okay, it will work. Yeah.
Right. So yep. It is right. The changes that we made on the internet were then brought down to the branch remotes origin GitHub pages, and
yep.
Then we merge those changes into our GitHub pages branch.
Okay, yeah. But normally what you do is you use git merge origin and then JS pages. So different from the last time we merged local changes. So in the local changes, we just use, we don't need to use origin.
Oh, you don't have to specify the word remotes in front.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. So now you can do that. So because we have a merge change, so you see everything is updated.
Okay.
But in general, you just need to use the remote point as origin by default, and then the branch name. So suppose you want to merge another branch that's called master, you can do that. We can do git merge origin master. So you merge master, the remote master, to your local GitHub pages. However, because we made changes on top of the master and then merged to the JS pages already, it won't change anything here. All right?
Remotes are kind of hard.
Yeah. But I think you get the idea that you can track all the versions of one file, even if there's conflict. You can switch back to any version you want. And then also you synchronize through remote. So the next I will show is how do you really collaborate with the people who really don't use Git at all. I think for that we should take a break.
We'd like to break a little bit early?
Yeah.
Okay, and then resume a little bit early?
Yeah.
Wait, oh, is it time?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally. All right, break, more snacks, water, bathroom.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, right, yeah.